It is her son's birthday. So she has summoned a taxi cab to her home, and with birthday gifts bundled in her arms, she eases into the back seat of the taxi cab. The driver, holding the door for Mrs. Dempsey, appears irritated, particularly at the sight of the brightly wrapped presents. But he says nothing. Now they are driving off down the street, driving far too fast, thinks Mrs. Dempsey. She mentions it as nicely as possible to the obviously sullen cab driver. Could you take it a little bit easier, she asks. I have some presents here for my son's birthday today, and a few of them are breakable. In the cab's rearview mirror, Mrs. Dempsey can see the driver frowning. It is his birthday today, too, he mutters, but nobody's giving him any presents. And he proceeds to complain that he and his wife have just separated, and he's broke, and in general, he's fed up with life. Mrs. Dempsey says, how old are you today? And to the woman's amazement, the unhappy cab driver is precisely the same age as her son. And yes, he was also born in Toronto, and more amazing still, both young men were born at St. Michael's Hospital. And surely your mother told you, Mrs. Dempsey begins, but the driver interrupts. My mother died when I was a baby, he says. As before, there is bitterness in his tone, but as the fretful cabbie could never have anticipated, he would indeed receive a very special gift on his birthday, as his passenger excitedly related the rest of the story. Before there was Queen Elizabeth, there was Queen Elizabeth, mother of England's current queen, wife of King George VI. In 1939, the royal couple toured Canada. Among the cities they visited was Toronto. Wherever the queen went, she was presented with bouquets of flowers, but she kept none of them. The flowers given the queen were in turn given to local hospitals to be divided among patients. Mrs. Dempsey remembered vividly how, while she was having her baby at St. Michael's in Toronto, a nurse came by and gave her a white rose. It was a flower from one of the queen's bouquets, presented in honor of the royal children, Elizabeth and Margaret. Every patient in the maternity ward received one, Mrs. Dempsey recalled. Then the woman looked up in the cab's rearview mirror again, and there was a tear rolling down the cheek of the driver. But his expression was no longer grim and self-absorbed. In fact, despite the tear, he was smiling. And then he said, I always wondered about that white rose pressed in my mother's Bible. Well, now he knew, and now so do you. For once upon a time, a woman in Toronto called a cab, and it just happened to be the driver's birthday. And yet on that birthday, as never before, he received a gift from his mother, a sprinkling of white rose petals in an unseen outstretched hand. A token of love when it was needed most. And if all this, as it must have been, was no more than a timely, touching, tremendous coincidence, at least now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
All right, you can call in and change the topic away from bathrooms anytime you want. But I promise I'm almost done with the bathroom talk.
And the Paso school board issues, and there's
but then we got to cover the walkout and the junior high walkout on Monday. But anyways, I was trying to set expectations for people about the way ahead, and I'm cautiously optimistic that the Supreme Court in June will make the right decision and say biological girls are girls and biological boys are boys, and so everybody's got a choice of where to go. But if they don't, you know, we need to look at how are we going to protect these kids going forward? And really, it's not just the girls.
I think it needs to happen today.
Well, let me continue. So they're, you know, looking at legal options, Darsha. You've got three lawsuits that are going on right now. The state of California is being sued by the federal government. So that's one way that you could get an injunction against CIF and California Department of Education to protect these girls. Judge Benitez is going to be the judge in that case. And then there are the two girls, or really it's two cases with multiple girls out of Harupa. So they're sort of the Riverside County version of our girls up here.
Test case.
And there are two of those cases, and those would provide two more options to impose injunctions. But where I still get upset with, our side in the state of California, I think we missed a strategic opportunity to get this on the ballot like they're doing in Washington State and Oregon and Maine. And they've already collected all the signatures they need in Oregon. I think it's Oregon. It might be Washington. But they've collected all the signatures they need to put on the ballot in November a law banning boys from girls' sports and vice versa. Boys belong in boys' locker rooms and teams, and girls belong in girls' locker rooms and teams. And to the previous caller's point, this really is, it's an 80-20 issue. And if it's that one-sided and it's nonpartisan, it would have passed. You would have gotten the signatures. All you had to do is get the word out. And so it may come to that, but best case scenario, this will be resolved in June. Addie Wallerman, very eloquent speaker, very, very poised and confident up there. She pointed out that the system was designed to prevent those girls from protesting and getting their way. And I agree with her, especially after learning that the boys already had privacy stalls. But they're obviously not 100% happy with this, and I'm not either. It's hopefully a temporary solution. But by spring break, there'll be privacy stalls in the girls' bathroom. By next fall, there will be more privacy stalls and privacy showers. And Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, the Supreme Court will come out in June and say, boys have to stay out of the girls' spaces. So we'll keep praying, but, be prepared to keep fighting if we have to. So,
well, what's really interesting is we have so many vineyards all around in North County. So this is not just a Paso Robles issue. We talk about Paso Robles because you're quite familiar with that. But
how did we get to vineyards?
Templeton, Tascadero. At every vineyard, they have temporary bathrooms and washing stations so that while all of the workers, these are not just migrant workers, these are professionals, come and go to the vineyard. They have a place to be able to go to the bathroom and a place to be able to wash their hands. And those are private spaces. We can just pull up the portable bathrooms, the porta potties, if you will, and have 40 of those on a campus. How much would that cost?
Hundreds of thousands, according to Brad Pulaski.
No, it does not.
But
and that $1.4 million bathroom for the kindergarten and the pre-K, I have so many issues with that.
Then write a letter. Talk to your local school board member. Oh, shoot, that's me. All right, let's shift gears, because I promised Darsha that we would get off of this topic so she can talk other stuff. But
today's protests for you, Kenny, because you will not be here next week. Or the week after. So I'm just here to facilitate you talking about the things you want to talk about today.
Oh, well, thank you. It's because I gave you a T-shirt. So let's talk about these protests. We had the high school protest on February 6th. So that was two Fridays ago, mm-hmm. three Fridays ago. And as reported, you had about 700 students that walked out. Only 70 actually followed the procedures to legally walk out.
To have an excused absence.
To have an excused absence. A total of 300 participated in the protest down on the bridge, and 400 went missing in action. At the last report, the high school still doesn't have the names of who walked out, which concerns me deeply. I had offered up, and I still offer up to the organizer of that protest to teach civics, or get Dan Dow or anybody to start educating these kids on really the way the government's supposed to work, and the fact that when you go and you protest law enforcement, that's not going to change the law. It's just going to make a lot of people dislike you. And if you're here, we'll just assume you're here illegally, it's probably not a good idea to go and tick off the host nation, because they're less likely, when that political process starts, they're less likely to side with you. But I had a conversation with the kid that started or organized the protest at the high school, and it was over the LGBTQ stuff, because he's part of that spectrum, and he did not understand the concept of federal law and state law. He thought it was strictly up to the school board to decide, and a lot of those kids that were speaking the other night felt the same way. If you listen to them, they're like, oh, well, we're reading scientific studies telling us how, a biological boy really isn't any stronger than a biological girl. Okay, got it. Doesn't matter. It's not up to us. But the protests on the 6th, I've had the opportunity to go through and look at some of the signs, and I'll read a couple of them off, but you had lots of signs. You had lots of signs that, talked about the colonizer. There was a lot of, F Trump, F ICE, F the Gestapo. But the one that really upset me the most, and really should upset the community, is there was a picture, and this was featured in the Tribune. It's a picture of a pig in a police uniform with X's over its eyes, and then the circle with the red slash in front of it. And underneath it says ICE. But it's obviously, in my opinion, a veiled threat against law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And you even had a speaker the other night who rebutted my comments that I feel that these protests at best accomplish nothing. At worst, for the protesters, it angers the community against you.
And it's inciting violence, essentially.
But that sign in particular, I found absolutely offensive. And I don't care if you put ICE on there or not, which is what somebody said to me. That is still law enforcement. And when you read through, when you read through some of the stuff that the National Educators Association put out, I think there's a good case to be made that they're orchestrating this around the country. And I researched last weekend. I pulled up the National Educators Association's handbook for 25-26. And one of the items that was adopted, it says, NEA opposes immigration and customs enforcement, kidnapping of student leaders and supporters, and supports students' right to organize against ICE raids and deportation.
That is one of the bullet points?
That's the item that they adopted. In their handbook, you can find the handbook. It's like 426 pages. You can Google it and find it online. PRPE is a member of NEA. PRPE members pay $219 in dues every year to NEA. They pay $858 to CTA, California Teachers Association.
And just with all those acronyms, I know you're military, but PRPE.
Paso Robles Public Educators.
Thank you.
So, talking to people over at the high school, I've been given numbers that as many as 50% of the faculty and staff encouraged people to walk out. That there, when you look on social media, there are parents that say that school resources were used to make those signs. that you had teachers that encouraged students to walk out. That's all violation of their contracts, as far as I'm concerned. When you look at, if they were to think about what they're doing, and I'll get to the point in a second. You know, they're supposedly defending these kids, the immigrant children from Evil ICE. Well, probably the best thing to do is don't draw negative attention to yourself. You know, if the NEA really wants to help these kids, they should probably start educating them.
Help with citizenship.
Help with citizenship.
Help with assimilation.
You know, even for the native-born population, only 22% of 8th graders can pass a civics test. Only 8% of 8th graders can pass an American history test. You start looking at the numbers here locally with our English learners. At the high school, 0% net proficiency in English. I'll correct that. 0.00%.
There's nowhere to go but up.
So you at the 11th graders, based off of last year's standardized test.
That's actually tragic.
0% met standards in English. 3.64% met standards in math. Now, if I'm a teacher and I know that I genuinely want some of these immigrants to be allowed to stay. If you're going to go out and fly Mexican flags and put signs up threatening law enforcement, you lost my support. What the educators in this community and in this state and this nation should be doing is teaching these kids how to be Americans. You want to stay in this country, be a better American than the native-born American.
Which isn't a high bar sometimes.
No. You want to know how... what the proficiency rate was for the 7th and the 8th graders, English learners?
I think I even know, and it's just...
0.000. Now, the protest that took place on Monday out of the junior high, in my opinion, and when you talk to people at the district, was a direct result of the protests on the 6th, because nothing happened to the kids out of the high school on the 6th. Which emboldened the junior high students to walk out. And the junior high students approached Dr. Duncan, who's the principal over there, and Dr. Duncan said, well, you can't leave campus. We'll let you protest at the stage they have there. And my understanding is that about 100 kids gang rushed the doors and ran out. Now, as soon as they leave the campus, per ed code in California law, the school can't go and like tackle them and put them in a headlock and drag them back. Unfortunately, I would like to do that.
Maybe if they were running, at least they got some exercise.
But yeah, the junior high did the right thing. They notified law enforcement. Mm-hmm. They had some members that were following the protesters.
But they went a long way.
They made it all the way to Walmart, and then Walmart had to lock the doors. I'll get back to that part in a second. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I would just add and argue that the focus should be on parenting.
I got to get to that, too.
Educators. I had good teachers. I had mediocre teachers. I had bad teachers. But in the end, I had to show up at home with a report card.
No, that's that's an excellent point. And
Stanford-educated mother and Cal-educated father, they were interested in results. And they never blamed, you know, I went to a good school district, but even a mediocre teacher can do the job if the parents are there.
Agree 1,000%.
Yeah.
Now, here's the rest of that story that I was telling about the junior high. So the kids made it all the way to Walmart. Walmart supposedly had to lock the doors to keep the kids from going in. The kids were flipping people off and cussing people all the way from Lewis Flamson over to Walmart, banging on windows of restaurants, throwing water bottles at people. And
yeah, well, my dad would have kicked my ass.
Oh, yeah. My dad would have done more than that probably. But The kids are at the junior high are going to face some level of punishment. And the parents of those kids are now calling the principal of the junior high to say that it's not fair. So that's what concerns me right now. To your point, you know, have we sunk to such a point where you have kids that, you know, I would argue that they probably committed some crimes. If you're a store and you have to lock your doors to keep an unruly mob of seventh and eighth graders out of your store, you've lost revenue. They've thrown bottles at people. Well, that's battery. They're cussing and threatening people. That's assault. But the parent is now calling the school and saying, oh, no, you can't keep little Kenny in detention. That's not fair.
It was a mostly peaceful protest.
So I would encourage people to, if you saw something, I would report it to the police. So these kids, because until these kids start getting held accountable, it's going to get worse, in my opinion. Thanks for the call. We got another call. Go ahead, caller.
So there's protests that kids did at the high school or from the high school. I have a really good friend's child that goes there, and they showed up at the high school and were appalled at the fact that the kids were allowed to do that. And whoever he was talking to told them it was... The kids had, if they didn't allow them to go, that they could have torn down the fences and caused all kinds of trouble. And it was brought up that there was two officers on campus. The gentleman also said, well, we watched the kids with drones to make sure there was no trouble. Well, my friend's kid, he left the campus.
And I want to hear the rest of your story. We have to go to a break in just a few seconds. Are you able to hold on? Or if you get cut off, could you call right back? Because we want to hear your story. Thank you. And we'll be right back after the break.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages selling off on the last trading day of February, capping a month marked by growing anxiety about the impact of artificial intelligence. Financials were the worst performers today, with Goldman Sachs leading the charge as worries about problems in the private credit market hit bank stocks, which headed toward the worst day since April's tariff turmoil. Also affecting the market, wholesale inflation rising more than expected in January. Nvidia shares fell another 4%, extending the AI bellwether's post-earnings slide. Precious metals surged on geopolitical worries, with gold jumping above $5,200 a troy ounce. The Dow winners, Amgen, McDonald's, and United Health. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, American Express, and Caterpillar. The Dow down 521 points, the Nasdaq lower by 210, S&P 500 down 30. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back. Hopefully we were able to keep you over the break. And you were reporting in from the high school protest. That was a protest against the immigration enforcement. And what did you see and what did you hear?
Well, first of all, excuse me, my voice is a little shaky. I am not used to talking on the radio or in public, but I was really appalled at the fact that my friend said when he went to the office to find out what in the world, why his kid wasn't on the campus, why he was allowed to leave, and the answers that he got. And he said there was no other parents in the office lined up to talk about why their kids weren't where they were expected to be. And on top of that, like I said, his child did not go to the protest. He went a little ways down the road, then turned around and rode his bike or skateboard back to the school, went back to class. My friend was told that, well, there was a group of kids that when they got to the intersection of the light there by Walmart and the gas stations, that a bunch of them scattered. My question was, well, they scattered to where, for one? For two, who's responsible for these kids that scattered, or even the ones on the bridge? If someone had been hit by a car, if any possible thing could have happened to one of these kids. Somebody could have been picked up on the side road when they were walking home. I thought the school would be responsible for these kids.
Well, first of all, thank you for your friend going into the office and actually being concerned for their child. And congratulations on one parent. So what if we had 500 parents? Even if we had 15 or 20 parents show up and say, what is going on here? Where is my child? And Kenny, you've addressed this before, but who's responsible for that? And we do have another call, but we will address this and come back to it. So thank you for calling in and thank you for your friend being a good parent. So we just had a call of a report of one of the parents that did go into the school and wondering where their parent was. What do you have to report? You're on the air.
I just want to say that as somebody who witnessed this protest from the Flamson School firsthand, that how embarrassed must this Unified School District feel to put this out on the streets? And I was being flipped off. I had water splashed on my car, and I was doing absolutely nothing. My kids go to Templeton. If I showed up to school and my son wasn't in high school when I showed up to pick him up, and they told me, well, we don't know where he is, he's out on Main Street somewhere protesting, I would be absolutely livid. And I'm not sure how any parent wouldn't feel that way. I was embarrassed for everyone in the Paso Unified School District. Kenny, one of the first things I thought about was you, and being on the board, and how you're going to have to sit there and listen to these parents literally grill you over this.
And I'm going to ask, where were you? What location were you when the water was splashed on you?
I was on Niblick Bridge, and I had just done a U-turn there where you would turn into, like, make a left turn to go into, like, Albertsons. And I turned right there, and I did a U-turn so I had to go back. And there were some kids there, and they literally just, one kid just, I think it was water, it just landed on my car. I have video from my dash cam, and as soon as I passed that child, there was a girl giving me a couple of fingers. I had done absolutely nothing but done a U-turn. And quite frankly, I was a little, it made me upset, first of all, that there was something now on my car that these kids had thrown on there. But guess what? When I saw those kids walking down Niblick Bridge, I already knew something was going to happen. And minutes later, something happened over at Walmart.
Right.
And there was six or seven police cars over there. I saw those kids marching up towards Walmart, and all I could think to myself is, nothing good is going to come of this.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing did. And sure enough, within a couple of minutes, there is the Paso Robles PD responding, lights and sirens. And I'm thinking, somebody just pissed somebody off. Somebody said the wrong thing. And I was just, my first thought was, oh my gosh, if I was a teacher, I would be so embarrassed, whether or not I stood up for this or not. This was not the right way to do it.
No, it's just another black eye for the district. But what concerns me is the fact that the district seems, and the community, the parents, the community, they're enabling this. I mean, what I really hope, I would appreciate it if you would file a report. The police won't. Yeah. The police won't do anything. Walmart doesn't. If I managed a store and I had to lock my store up because 50 to 100 kids showed up and, you know, caused a melee outside, I would be looking for some restitution because I've lost money. I don't know about, you know, how many people got flipped off, but until these kids are held accountable, and I can tell you now, California Ed Code ain't going to do it. I mean, I've had this conversation. Maybe Chris Bausch will call in and say, hey, I'll talk to
the city.
I'll talk to the city about it. But you're right. I mean, we have all sorts of reasons to be embarrassed, and this is just the newest.
I work primarily in Paso Robles, and when I saw these kids, first of all, I thought, well, these kids are awfully young, and I thought they're from the high school at first, but then I started looking at them, and these kids are awfully young, and to hear that they went all the way from Lampson all the way down there unsupervised doing all of this, I'm absolutely shocked. And I understand there's nothing they could do to stop these kids from running out. But are you telling me that they didn't know this was going to happen? They didn't know that these kids were going to run out?
They found out about it. The story that I've gotten, and I believe it, they notified the principal probably about 10:30 in the morning that they were going to do this protest during lunch. The principal, again, as I said, offered them, well, you can have a protest on campus, and the kids basically said, that's not good enough, and gang rushed the gate. One of them supposedly yelled, they can't get all of us. And so there were about 50 that stayed and protested on the campus. But the 100 that left, in my opinion, lots of Saturday detentions and lunch detentions, pick up garbage. But there should be, for those that went and caused a store to be shut down, they should be taken to court. And until this community starts, you know, thumping the school district and say, hey, enough, you need to control your students, and parents should be embarrassed that they've raised kids that would go out and do that. You had a speaker at the board meeting.
Mentality, Kenny, and I'm not so sure. Look, in defense of some of these kids, I'll bet you some of them are just great kids. I bet that they get good grades, and I'm assuming that there's some really great parents out there. I have to assume that because there was a ton of kids out there, but when you put them all together like that,
the mob takes over.
You're just encouraging that
anonymity.
No, I agree with you. There was a speaker at the board meeting the other night that went after me. He's there all the time. He's a retired educator, but he was saying these kids should all get, you know, extra credit for going out and exercising their First Amendment rights. And I, you know, I'm not allowed to say anything, but I won't tell you what was going through my head. But you're raising the next generation of criminals unless you start holding people accountable.
They need to be held accountable for sure.
And I don't know. Step one is you got to get new people on the school board. I was telling Darsha, you had Mr. Susank is the new principal at the high school. He started enforcing tardies.
Right.
And so the kids were upset that because they've been allowed for years to do whatever the hell they want. And now you've got a principal that's coming in trying to enforce discipline. And one of the parents contacted one of the board members who contacted Mrs. Loftus and said, and they were equating the effort to round kids up to put them in class to ICE roundups. And they were traumatizing the students. And at that point, I'm like, oh, we're lost.
On that note, thanks for calling
appreciate
in.
Appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
And file a report.
Oop, you're gone.
We waited a little too long.
Call back.
And I do know people who were involved in, you know, seeing the students, and to address the earlier caller, who's responsible for the students when they're not on campus, but during the hours that school is in session?
Yeah, like I said, when they leave campus, we can't, you know, tackle them and drag them back. Now, I would like that, but it's against the law. But at this point, when they leave, you know, there's supposed to be a process. And what I've found out is, and it really didn't surprise me based off of everything else I've found out in this district, but the board, we're the representatives of the community. We set policies. They're not recommendations. Mm-hmm. They're policies. It doesn't say board recommendation. It says board policy. And there's a board policy that's based off of Ed Code that's supposed to enforce truancy and tardiness. And there's a definition for truancy. And it's you miss 3 days in the course of the year, or you're late 30 minutes or more 3 times. And it's a truancy. That hasn't been enforced apparently for years. I had a meeting it was the first and last time they asked me to sit down with them. But the Paso Robles public educators wanted to sit down. And this was, I think, spring of 2024. And it was supposed to be like 20 minutes, meet and greet. Hi, I'm so-and-so. You know. And it turned into almost a three-hour meeting. And it was just a vent session with a lot of teachers. But there was this one teacher who said, I've got a kid that's got 300 tardies. And my first question was, how do you do that? There are only 180 days in the school year. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, welcome. Yes, now we can hear you.
Oh, I was wondering something that I always say to my grandchildren when they're doing something very annoying. What's in it for you? What are you going to get out of this, whatever it is? What do you hope for? What's in it for you? Has anybody asked these kids what's in it for you?
I did. The one young man that organized the high school walkout, and I was basically told to keep my opinions to myself. And this is the same young man that when he was interviewing me for the Crimson, when I was asking him questions like, all right, so who makes laws in the government? His response was, you can't ask me questions. Well, why can't I ask you questions? Because I'm doing the interview. Well, that doesn't mean I can't ask you questions. I think my expectation, if you were to ask that question, get real answers, it would be they were part of the cool club.
I was just thinking perhaps they were annoying to be annoying for itself, because young people sometimes do that. Oh, let's see how annoyed we can get dad, mom, the next door neighbor, the teacher, the community, whatever. They just like to be annoying, and I hate to say that, but I'm sure it's true.
Well, it could be.
Unfortunately, I think they're being encouraged to, you know, the community agitators. They actually do have training. I've mentioned a couple different times that indivisible.org is a nationwide organization that had the No Kings Day and has the protests and does training.
Yeah, actually, CTA and NEA, mm-hmm. they also stayed in there.
Right, kids didn't have to do it. Three-fourths, nine-tenths, whatever, of the students didn't get involved. They didn't have to, because someone came up and would you do that if so-and-so did it? If somebody asked you to do such, are you going to do it? They didn't have to do it. They just did it, as I said, I think, and then I'm going to hang up, just to be annoying.
And I'll bet one or two times in your life you've been in a situation where you go along and then either you do get some kind of punishment or something, you know, somebody somewhere calls you out and says, hey, what are you doing? What, and as you said, what's in it for you? And all we need is one or two or three people to actually call these kids out right here, right now, and say, listen, this is not the way to do it. You have a right to peacefully protest, but there's a way to do it, and there's a way to not do it. This is not the way to do it.
I wish them luck. That's all I can say. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Caller, if you'll call back after the break, we'll pick you right up.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
March is heating up at Tatchy with the Mad Money Drop. Every Thursday in March from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., we're dropping serious cash. Three winners every hour can win up to $9,000. And at 8 p.m., one winner scores $5,000 plus a Best Buy gift card. Brackets are fun, but $9,000 in cash is better. It's Mad Money Drop, only at the Tatchy Palace Casino Resort in Lemoore.
Elite Roadshow Buyers is returning to Pass Robles at the History Museum located downtown for 3 days only. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, March 9th, 10th, and 11th. And Tomorrow Bay at the Veterans Memorial Hall for 2 days only. Thursday and Friday, March 12th and 13th. Call 760-783-5483 to book your appointment. Phones are answered 7 days a week. Meet the team of buyers, including three seen on TV's Antiques Roadshow, all with decades of elite experience to offer you the best price for your heirlooms. They're buying a wide range of fine items like gold and silver jewelry, watches, coins, sterling silver, oil paintings, even antique firearms, historical items, advertising, memorabilia, and more. Visit the website EliteRoadshowBuyers.com for more details. Don't miss this free event to receive purchase offers with immediate payment. Call 760-783-5483 today. That's 760-78-ELITE.
All right, we're back. Give us a call, 805-238-5775. All right, so we're talking about the junior high walkout on Monday. And we'll go right to the phone lines. Oop, we got two now. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line.
Yeah, just a couple of points. Whenever I was in school as a kid, we had to have pre-signed parental authorization ahead of time to allow us to leave the campus once we were there. And we had to be under staff supervision the whole time.
Well, that's technically the way it's supposed
it's
to be happening.
It's still that way.
Yeah.
And then would they have been okay there at the school to provide materials for any of the kids who were in favor of the police to write nice signs to hang out the bridge for them to see? Or would that have been okay?
I would.
Probably not, huh?
Yeah.
That's a great point. I've likened it. Well, what happened during COVID when the students were protesting having to wear masks? How did that go, and what were the ramifications of that? And
yeah, I threw out the question the other day. You know, you have the March for Life coming up, I think, next week or the week after. You know, would the I don't think the teachers' union would be as enthusiastic about supporting a March for Life as they would, you know, an anti-Trump, anti-U.S., anti-law enforcement march.
Are they going to flush all the kids out of the campus to go support the pro-life march? I don't think so.
They'll lock the gates behind them once they leave.
So. The answer to all this is the left. They do as they please because they think they're in the right, but they don't afford the same accommodation to their opponents who would like to do the same thing.
That's very true. There's a big double standard in this community. I've complained about it for my time on the board.
If it weren't for double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all, something like that.
Yeah. That's for all over the country.
Well, the point is that certainly there's a huge... Let's get back to education. I think there's a huge opening for improvement on 0.00001%. So let's really have that time be how can we learn as a community? How can we understand what a protest means? How can we understand how to do it constitutionally? And have the education be about the Constitution. And if you want to believe this way, what do we do? And if you don't. And we have another call. We're going to go to that. Thank you for calling in. And welcome to Open Mic Friday.
Good afternoon, Kenny.
How are you, sir?
You too, Darsha.
Oh, thanks.
Kenny and Darsha, we're still in charge. And I, for one, am going to be advocating for a no vote, serious no vote, on any bond issue or any money directed at the school district, period. And we'll just have to see how the community actually feels. And I should allow that I have a great deal of union experience. I know how they work. I know what's involved. I know that the little girl who blessed you, Kenny, with your new election to the board with "We Don't Need a Marine." I remember that. And I can still repeat it. We don't need a Marine. And I can say to that person, whoever did, why wouldn't you want a college-level professor sitting on your school district? Because that's what you are. And it's about time that people took note of some of the things that are going in favor of our school district, despite the very people who work for the school district trying to discount it. And I, for one, as a taxpayer in the district, refuse. I'm not going to vote for a bond. I've voted for every bond they've ever passed in this school district. No more. And you know who killed it? They did.
Yep.
They did. I never been to a school board meeting until they went after Chris Bosch. That's what drew me to the meeting. The fact that these people were going to beat up on a guy because he happened to own a gun and had a different political view of things. So they were going to go after him, and even personally. Well, that's not going to fly. How are we going to get? We have enough trouble getting people to run for the school district board now. And you want to discourage them even more? That's not smart. The people in this teachers union are as dumb as posts, and you can quote me. They're as dumb as posts. You can't go with a hat in hand to the public after you've beat up on the public religiously for a year or two and expect them to give you more money.
Right.
That's not going to happen. So they can pass all the bond measures they want at the school board. They can put it out in the on the agenda for the next election. I am going to dedicate myself to discourage people for voting for it. Period.
Well, actually, I am too.
I even have a different reason for it. Yeah.
I've tried
to. There's a variety of reasons why we should be in question of the Paso Robles School District, not the least of which is their test scores.
Well, I think there are a lot. I agree with you 1,000%. What I've proposed to the board is you need to table this idea right now. You know, besides the fact that taxes are going to be going up on everybody in this community probably this year, you have nothing to show as a success. And when I brought that up at the board meeting a couple weeks ago, they said, no, we're doing so much better than we were in 2016 after Measure M. I said, no, you're not. Our scores are actually 10, 15 points lower now 10 years later than they were in 2016. If you want to sell the community on a bond measure, in my opinion, you need to excite them and show them that you can improve. And if you wait till 2028, that gives you basically three testing cycles to grow, to raise the scores. We're below state standards. I mean, we can see the disciplinary issues that we have just by the students, you know, rushing the gates and running out into the streets. It now is not the time to waste $100,000, which is what it's going to cost the school district to put that bond measure on the ballot. Wait until 2028 and show that, you know, we're fiscally responsible, that we've established discipline, that there's improvements in academic performance. But I can tell you now, they're gonna go ahead and push it and waste $100,000.
Of course they are. They always have. And in the end result, the taxpayers in this school district are quite generous and have been quite generous over time. The school district has outstripped their generosity. That's the problem.
I agree with that.
Agreed. And I ran the numbers.
There's no management of the money.
And there's no return on investment. And that's the other argument that I'm making. If you look at Clovis, I always compare Clovis to Paso.
You have to.
And when you look at Clovis, Clovis's response to their walkout on the 6th of February was Clovis PD arrested and charged adult agitators that were marching with the kids. And all those kids were immediately identified by the high schools and given their truancy notices. We're like 2 weeks after the fact, and we still don't know who walked out of the high school. But when you look at Clovis in the last 30 years, they've passed 12 bond measures. In the last 30 years in Paso, we've passed two.
Yes.
And I would argue it's because the community doesn't see return on investment.
And constant agitation.
And unfortunately,
you have teachers in their face constantly. This whole transgender thing, I don't want to go back to that again, because if you get me started about transgenderism doesn't exist.
I agree.
It's a facade. It's fake. And if you're telling
it's
me
cruel.
That it's this school district's job to teach something that is completely scientifically fake to students at the school, I think we need some adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question about it. We need some adjustments. If we need new personnel, let's get them. Whatever it takes, the people in this town, when it comes to this school district, I've lived here all my life, have always been generous. Sometimes I voted for every one of them because I took at one time the plight of the teachers, and they have some issues. I agree. However, they aren't worth what they're giving back to the community that's funding them. You want to raise? Oh, but you want to punch out the guy that's going to pay you before you stick your hand out to get the raise. I don't think so. I think it's time for the taxpayers in this district to demand some results from the amount of money that we've poured in to the school district.
Amen.
And of course, that would include the restructuring of some of the adults involved, the so-called educated adults who have all the right credentials to allow our children to charge the door and leave the school.
Well,
yeah.
I would hope that the teachers would rise to the level that has been set for them. This is the bit
and
of,
there are some that
this
are.
Is the bit of grace that I will give the teachers right now. I still support and I like Mrs. Loftus, and I think she has got a huge uphill battle. But prior to her, nobody was in charge. Nobody set standards, and nobody enforced discipline. And the teachers, I think, kind of hunkered down and didn't really want to pick any fights with parents or worry about academic performance because they weren't going to get in support from the school administrators or
a lot of them retired
or the district office. Well, you
they
got
left.
New leadership now. You got new sheriff in town, and hopefully it'll turn things around.
We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, I'm gone for the next 2 weeks, Darsha. Remember the red button. All right.
We got it.
Have a great
Thank you, everyone, for calling in. And please, as a community, let's come together for our children, for our students. Protect the children. Let's get this straightened out. Let's get it so that we can have a community that is, I'll say tolerant, but not tolerant of things that are not constitutional.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals, across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.